Tonight's scripture comes from Hebrews 11th and 12th chapter, starting at verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something even better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we ask you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're a couple days late because All Saints Day was actually Sunday. But I really felt last year we didn't celebrate All Saints Day here on Thursday night, the way the calendar worked out. And so I wasn't going to do it this year either because it's all the way to the 5th. But I don't know, I just felt like we needed to do it this year. So here we are looking at All Saints Day. And, you know, there's a lot of Protestants who I'm not sure even acknowledge All Saints Day, even though it's in our church calendar, because they kind of get a little nervous that it's like way too Catholic to be looking at. The word saint sort of makes us a little nervous as Protestants. But the reality of it is that we, those who are found in Jesus Christ, are saints. We're called saints. This doesn't mean we walk around with the glowing halo and the white robe, although one day we will be dressed in that glorious white robe when we're forever singing praises to the King. But we're saints in Jesus Christ. And so one of the things I love about All Saints Day is it gives us a chance to celebrate, to remember, to recognize the saints who have gone on before us years and years and centuries and millennia ago, as well as the ones who are still here and still blessing us, and God's still using them in our lives. You know, as we walk this walk of faith, we kind of hold a lot of stuff in balance. And one of the things that we hold in balance is that we desperately need to have an individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can't latch onto somebody else's relationship. It has to be able to be us and God the Father through Jesus Christ one-on-one. We have to have a relationship with him. We have to be grounded in him. He has to be our hope. And yet at the same time, God does not call us to this Lone Ranger life where we have to tough it out on our own. It's one of the things I love about the way God does things. Not only does he give us his Holy Spirit, God's very presence living in our lives, but he puts us in community where we can love and encourage and support one another. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 68, it reminds us that God even takes lonely people and he puts them in families. That sometimes when our family of origin has let us down or is far away from us or we find we don't have anything in common with them, God invites us into this brand new family, the body of Christ, the church, a community. And so we're in this thing together. And because of that, because we're in this thing together, God uses us in one another's lives. And sometimes we see it in big ways, and sometimes we see it in little tiny ways. But I think that's God's purpose in us being together, is that we bless, we encourage each other, we pray for one another. Sometimes we even wind up correcting one another. We pray for one another. We are so much stronger together in community than a whole bunch of individual Christians trying to tough it out on their own. So when I think about All Saints Day, I'm always drawn to this passage. And if we had time, I would really love to have had Doug read all of Hebrews 11. It's the kind of the hall of fame of faith, if you will, where the writer of the letter of Hebrews kind of goes through God's people, talking about how they lived by faith, retelling us the stories that have become part of our gospel story, our Christian narrative, as we look through God's faithfulness through his people throughout the years, and we watch God's people respond to him with faith. Human beings who are flawed and broken and messed up and got it wrong, but still lived in faith because of the faithfulness of God. And so the writer of Hebrews starts to retell the stories. And sort of like me, I think the writer of Hebrews can make a short story long. And so he gets all excited and starts going to all these details of all these different saints. And then he comes to this part where he says, okay, wait a minute, I don't even have time. I ran out of time to tell you about all these other saints of God, all these other people, and the lives of faith that they lived and the way that they blessed and encouraged the people of faith. And then he goes on as he starts chapter 12 and says this: since then, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Such an amazing thing to think about the people who have gone on before us, who walked the faith, even when sometimes it was a really broken and messy road. So since we have this cloud of witnesses cheering us on, if you will, as we use this race analogy, let's do this. Let's run the race, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Because that's what it's about. That's why we encourage and bless and cheer each other on and pray for each other, so that each one of us will keep running the race, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author, the pioneer, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who it's all about, who is, if you will, our constant companion on the journey and at the same time our goal. That one day we stand face to face, no mirror darkly, no knowing in part. At the end of the race, we stand fully unmasked in the presence of Jesus in his glory. That's what we're running for. And so God gives us companions to run with us, sometimes who carry us in their prayers to cheer us on. We look at the lives of the people who have gone on before us, and they inspire us and they bless us. And so when I think about this passage and when I think about All Saints Day, I think about the saints in the scripture who encourage me, who bless me. And sometimes that's David, who was a man who messed up time and time again, and yet whose heart always ran hard after God. I look at David's life when he messed up, and I look at the way he let his heart be broken, and he repented, and he cried out for God's mercy and forgiveness. And that inspires me, and it blesses me, and it shows me a good way. Not that I'm a woman of God who loves him because I'm perfect and now I don't do anything wrong. But when I fall, when I break, I know exactly where to go. To God's throne of grace. Throughout the scriptures, we see other people who inspire us. And I'd love for you to be thinking of some of the people who inspire you. I think of the people that I've known personally in my own life who inspire me. And I'm reminded how important it is for us to be involved with each other, for us to be encouragers, for us to be cheerleaders, if you will, for us to be prayer warriors for one another. And I was thinking about all this week. I kept coming back to Barnabas. I don't know if you're familiar with Barnabas. He shows up in a few chapters in the book of Acts. And we first meet him in Acts 4 when we're told that there was a Levite man from Cyprus named Joseph, who is called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And he comes before the apostles in this brand new church, and he sold the field and he lays the money at the apostles' feet. That's the first time we see Barnabas. And then Barnabas shows up a little later after Saul of Tarsus, who we call Paul, usually has his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus and accepts Jesus. This persecutor of the church becomes a follower of Jesus, and it's dramatic. And as Saul spends a little bit of time wandering around and then shows up in Jerusalem, the elders of the church, the apostles, are very nervous. They don't really want anything to do with him because he's been spending most of his life, since last few years at least, making sure that Christians get put to death or are in jail. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned, the first Christian martyr, giving his approval. So all of a sudden, this man who was an enemy is preaching the gospel, and the apostles are sort of like keeping this guy at arm's length. And you know what happens? Barnabas, the son of encouragement, comes to the elders in Jerusalem. He says, no, this guy is the real thing. This is conversion. This guy is preaching the gospel with power. And so then Paul gets some acceptance and eventually is sent out with Barnabas, if you will, on what we call his first missionary journey, to kind of start some churches, to visit some churches, and they wind up in Antioch, and it's all kinds of stuff is going on. They take with them a young man called John Mark, who is actually Barnabas's nephew. And partway through the missionary journey, John Mark bails out. He goes back to Jerusalem. We don't know why. Didn't want to preach to Gentiles. It was uncomfortable for him to be away from home. We don't know why, but he left. And when Paul and Barnabas were ready to go out again on their next missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take his nephew John Mark with him. And Paul was adamant that John Mark would not go with them because he had left them. They both felt so strongly about it that it actually divided their missionary team. They went their separate ways. Barnabas went with John Mark, and Paul picked up Silas and continued on what he was doing. And at that point, we don't see a whole lot more of Barnabas. And that would be interesting if that was the end of the story, and we would realize that sometimes even people who love Jesus wind up going different directions. But as Paul's at the end of his life in prison, and he's writing what we call the prison letters, he's writing particularly in the letter to the Colossians and in the letter to Philemon, Paul mentions this very same John Mark. It says what a comfort he's been to Paul, and he encourages the Colossians that when he comes to see them, to welcome him in. John Mark, whatever kind of a rocky beginning he had, wound up being a blessing to Paul, who was ready to write him off. And as a matter of fact, John Mark is also known to us as Mark the Evangelist, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, probably kind of dictated to him, if you will, by Peter. I think about what could have happened to John Mark when he left this missionary journey, sort of in disgrace, ready to be written off by Paul, never to be able to be useful again in the kingdom of God. And I don't think it's an accident that Barnabas, the son of encouragement, kept on John Mark, kept believing that God had something to do through him and in him. And we see John Mark have a much better end than he did a finish. And so I see, when I think about that story, how incredibly important it is that we have people like Barnabas in our life, that we have encouragers in our lives, that we have people come alongside us when we're falling apart and remind us that it's not about us, it's about trusting in God's strength and his spirit, who remind us that it's sometimes in our weakness that we see the power of God made perfect. That when we don't see any hope for ourselves, they see God's hope for us. And they're able to encourage us and pray for us. It's an incredibly important role. So not only do I realize how much I need people like Barnabas in my own life, but I realize how important it is for us to be like Barnabas, to be sons and daughters of encouragement, of consolation, who look after one another, who invest ourselves in one another, who believe, if you will, in one another when sometimes the outward appearance of us doesn't look like it's worth believing that anything good is going to happen in our lives. And so I'm not only thankful for the people who in my life have been like Barnabas, but it drives me to pray that I'm available for God to use me in the lives of other people. I'm also aware on All Saints Day of the saints who have gone before me that I've personally known, and things that I wish that I had probably said to them while they were alive. And so All Saints Day also reminds me, encourages me, exhorts me to put words of thanks to my blessings, to make sure the people in my life who God uses to cheer me on, to pray for me, to encourage me, that I tell them that. You know, sometimes we get this really goofy reasoning as Christians, like we're doing it for the Lord, so we should like never get any thanks and we should never look for anybody to appreciate us. And I just think that's so really wrong, because God knows exactly who we are and how we're constructed. Jesus was human himself, took on flesh. He knows exactly what human emotions feel like. And sometimes somebody's words of thanks or encouragement or telling us what a blessing we've been to them is like a confirmation that God's moving in our lives when we can't see it, that God's using sometimes the small little gestures that we do to bless other people. So one of the things I'm really reminded about and I encourage you to do is start vocalizing your appreciation for the people that God's blessed you with. When somebody reaches out to you and it means something huge to you, tell them that. When there's somebody who prays for you or encourages you, thank them for that. And just let them know that God has blessed you through them. There are people that I wish I could thank, and on All Saints Day, I always think first and foremost of my mom, who was such a rock of faith, and yet a quiet, unassuming woman. She was never in the spotlight. She always just worked really hard. And the older I get, the more appreciation I have for who my mom was and the sacrifices she made to raise my sisters and me. One of the things that I am most thankful for as I get older is the awareness of how my mom prayed for me. I know she prayed for me all the time. No matter where I was with God, when I was close, when I was not so close, she prayed for me. And I believe with all my heart that I am seeing even now in my life, 19 years after she's gone, seeing her prayers being answered in my life. I'm so grateful for her. And although I told her I loved her and I made sure she knew what she meant to me, I wish I could have told her how much I appreciate her sacrifice and her prayers and just the example that she was to me. I was blown away after my mom died of all the people who had stories of these little things my mom had done, sometimes kids who had had her in Sunday school years before who were blessed by her. And so I love to celebrate the memory of my mom. One of the other saints that has been on my heart this year is someone that a lot of you in this congregation know. And you, those of you who have been in this church for years, I think are so blessed, because I've only been here a short time, but I've heard stories about the faithful men and women of God who have gone on before us here and the impact that they've had on so many of your lives. And you need to remember as well, that's who you all are to a lot of people. You're the saints that they're going to be thanking God for, that they do thank God for, that they tell the stories about. Everyone in this room, I could probably tell a story about how God has used you to be a blessing to me. I know there's a church full of people who feel that way. But the saint that I'm talking about tonight is a very unlikely saint for me, because his name is Bud Watson. And when I first came to this church and I met Bud, I think we both kind of took a step back from one another. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bud Watson was not at all thrilled with the idea of women having any sort of pastor-type roles in the church. And here I was, worship leading and then eventually preaching. You know, when I met Bud and I heard him pray in this gorgeous, perfect King James English, kind of made me feel a little, because, you know, I'm like, all right, Abba, can you help me out? You know, I'm so un-King James. And yet he had all this glorious vocabulary. I still remember him saying once, thanking God for raiment, which is like clothing. And I would have said clothing, and he said raiment. But we were very different people. And Tom started a conversation with us one day, and we started talking about Bud's grandson. And that sort of gave us a little bit of a connection, because once he started talking about his grandson, if you remember that, he was a different person. But I think what really happened with Bud and I was one day, I don't even know how many years back, when Craig was on vacation on the first Sunday in January, the guest pastor, whoever that was, forgot to show up. And so we have a congregation full of people and no service. And so a whole bunch of people jumped up and started doing what needed to be done. And Pat Doherty came to me and said, do you think you could preach? And so I did. And Bud, who had been trained while you guys had been without a pastor for all those years to do communion, did a beautiful communion service. And it was all just so unrehearsed and really unprepared. And yet God's Spirit jumped in. And something happened that day between Bud and I. We went from sort of having this grudging respect to one another to fully being brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Some kind of wall, some sort of difference between us melted. To the point even that when I was out of the service doing junior church and didn't get to see him during the peace, he would stop by on his way out to give me a hug and pass me the peace. I love Bud Bunting because the purity of his theology and his dedication to the God he loved. I love him for his beautiful King James prayers. I love him for the way that he knew Robert's rules of orders back and forth and could make motions and seconds and all that sort of stuff that Presbyterians love to do, keep everybody else in order. I love that about him. But I think the thing I love most about Bud Watson is he showed me that the gospel works. He showed me that people who don't agree on everything, sometimes if they got to know each other, wouldn't agree on a lot of things, but have Jesus Christ, can be together and can love one another. That's what the gospel's about. It's not that we all agree on every single little point of theology. I had a pastor friend once who said, if you found two people who agree on everything, there's no need for one of them. But we, you know, we can get along, even when we have differences, even when we think differently about things. Even sometimes when we're at a place where we're questioning what it is that we believe, or we're doubting, or we're struggling, or we're whatever it is. When we are in Jesus Christ, we're family. And we can love one another wholeheartedly, because what we share in Jesus Christ is bigger than any differences that we have. And Bud Watson taught me that in a physical, powerful way And I am eternally grateful for him. And if when we get to heaven, we really do recognize one another, he's going to be one of the first people that I'm going to want to give a hug to. So thankful for the lessons that he taught me. And just like the writer of Hebrews, I could go on, but I'm not going to do that. But I would love for you to take some time and just, if you want to do it here with us now, just tell us somebody that you're thankful for, whether it's a scripture person or a real life person. I'd love for you to do that. I'd love for you, along with me, to seriously ask God to help us be a blessing to other people, to help us really be community for one another, to really learn how to reach out. Some of you do it so naturally and it's so beautiful, but to really reach out, to encourage, to bless, to be serious about praying for one another. And then I also encourage all of us this week to think of at least one person that we need to write a note to, make a phone call, send a Facebook message, text, however it is you best communicate, just thanking them specifically for something they've done that God's used to bless you. How blessed we are to live in a community of saints. These unique personalities and all kinds of character traits, but bound together in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we are part of community. We are so thankful that you put us in families, biological families, but then you put us in spiritual families where we can be brothers and sisters and love one another. And God, as we stand here in this beautiful sanctuary, I thank you for like 160 years of faithful people who loved you in this congregation. God, I thank you for the people in this room right now who love you, who run hard after you, who love one another so well. Lord, you know, I believe it's the thing that this congregation does best is love each other. So I thank you for letting me be a part of this. I thank you for the opportunity to get to know these people in this room who are such a blessing to me. God, use us. Use us in bigger and bigger ways and in little tiny small ways at the same time to be a blessing to one another. God, tonight we just want to recommit ourselves to being available for you to love people through us. Give us opportunity, even this week, God, give us opportunity to love people with your love, to bless people, to encourage people. And God, help us to be a thankful people. Help us just to remember to thank one another for the things that you're doing in our lives through one another. So God, we just give you thanks and praise because you are our Abba Father, because you are an awesome God, because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.